from ABC News. World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson. Listen.
Thank you, Iowa. Just twice in a row.
I am today ending my campaign for president.
I have tested positive for the HIV virus.
Kids get in trouble, policemen's kids, preacher's kids break the law. It's not the parents' fault.
I'm honored. I held hands with the president on Valentine's Day. Yes!
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
If you wear contact lenses, we'd like you to meet 800-800-LENS customer Phyllis Porter of San Bernardino, California.
Most amazing to me is that I can get the same contact lenses for half the price, and the contact lenses come right to me. So it's very exciting, and it's incredible to me that I can get the same contact lenses for half the price, and all I have to do is call 800-800-LENS, order my contact lenses, give them my prescription over the telephone. I don't even have to pay for the phone call, and it's wonderful service, and I'm amazed at the price, that it's half the price as I would pay if I went anywhere else.
Save up to 50% on your lenses, not to mention your time. Whether you wear hard or soft lenses, disposables, gas permeables, or torics, replacing your contact lenses has never been easier. As long as your prescription is current, 800-800-LENS will keep you from seeing double and paying double. Call us at 1-800-800-LENS.
Thank you very much, and God bless America.
Senator Bob Dole beat back 8 Republican challengers this week to capture the Iowa caucus.
Thank you, Iowa. It's twice in a row.
Twice in a row, but not twice as nice. Last time, 1988, Senator Dole won 37% of Iowa's voters. In Monday's caucus, he pulled in 26% of the total vote. Dole was unable to silence the competition.
No, Pat, no.
Especially Pat Buchanan.
No, no,
Buchanan's strong second-place finish, only 3 points behind Dole, left him confident, even cocky.
Let me thank the lady that's been beside me so long, the one who is going to replace Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Third place was music to Lamar Alexander's ears. The piano-playing former governor won 18% of the Iowa vote, a better-than-expected finish.
Iowa has said yes to a grassroots campaign about the future of America, and no to negative mudslinging.
The negative mudslinging referenced by Alexander was directed at millionaire candidate Steve Forbes, who ran the most negative campaign commercials. Forbes finished fourth with only 10% of the vote, but the political novice claimed he landed right where he expected.
We always, at the beginning, had a 4-3-2-1 strategy, finish 4 in Iowa, finish 3 in New Hampshire, 2 in Delaware, and then win the Arizona primary and take it from there.
Forbes spent $4 million in Iowa and won only 3 delegates. But even Forbes' finish wasn't as big a surprise as Texan Phil Graham's paltry 9%. Graham left Iowa without winning a single delegate, though he said he wasn't bitter.
I leave this state with a heart full of love.
But Graham's chances of being president were too slim to keep fighting, and on Wednesday he quit.
I am today ending my campaign for president of the United States. When the voter speaks, I listen, especially when the voter is saying someone else's name.
Graham's exit caused a scramble among the remaining 8 candidates.
I'm opening our door to the Graham folks, all of them, any and all, are welcome in the Buchanan campaign.
But the media focus soon turned from Graham to Buchanan and a top aide, Larry Pratt. A nonpartisan research group called the Center for Public Integrity released a report claiming Larry Pratt is an anti-government extremist. Charles Lewis heads the Center for Public Integrity.
Why did Pat Buchanan name as his campaign co-chairman Larry Pratt, a political activist and head of the Gun Owners of America, who has a track record of working with leaders of the Aryan Nations, a white supremacist organization that organizes neo-Nazi skinheads, and lawyers and leaders of the militia movement.
Buchanan said Pratt was taking a leave of absence and that the charges against him are vicious and false.
I don't even know this group, white Aryan Nations, but let me say this. If this is a group preaching white supremacy in America, my country, I want nothing to do with it or its supporters I want none of them in my campaign. I don't believe any of them are in my campaign. I don't believe Larry Pratt is a member of that group.
At a news conference, Pratt denied he was a racist.
I have not knowingly spoken to any white supremacist group. I have spoken to him at a meeting where it turned out, unbeknownst to me, there were people who definitely fit that description. And I did not know that going in, and I certainly did not appreciate it.
A Buchanan campaign volunteer in Florida was told her help was unwelcome after her link to a racist organization was revealed. Bay Buchanan, manager of her brother's candidacy, charged the volunteer was planted by political enemies.
It smells of an absolute setup to us. We feel that it's probably one of the dirty tricks being pulled off by one of our opponents who are desperate.
On Thursday night, the Republican candidates debated in New Hampshire. Buchanan took offense at a Dole ad labeling him an extremist.
If I'm an extremist, why are you pirating my ideas and parroting my rhetoric? Where'd you get that idea for the cultural war for the soul of America, my friend? Where'd you get these other ideas about corporate greed?
Through most of the debate, the candidates attacked front-runner Bob Dole. In this exchange, Buchanan charged Dole with serving on a Reagan-era commission that advocated a raise in taxes on Social Security recipients.
Pat's really gotten carried away tonight. I don't know what's happened. You have a bad day or something?
No, I know you're on that commission. You raise Social Security taxes more than any tax increase in American history.
That's right. We save Social Security. 37 million Americans are getting their checks every month.
Lamar Alexander questioned Dole's competency.
Bob, we respect you, but you're not the man to have in that debate with Mr. Clinton and not the man to be the first president of the next century.
What did voters think about the debate?
For the people who gathered at the Dancing Bear Steakhouse in Manchester to watch the debate, nearly all the candidates said something they liked.
Issues so far have been answered differently by most of the candidates, and they've all had something decent to say.
But Jerry Guidry says if he had to vote right now,
Pat Buchanan would be probably the one that's most consistent with the way I believe, though.
Jerry Schwartz agrees.
Straight shooter. He don't give you no bull crap. He tells it like it is.
And here in New England, that's just the way they like it. Jim Hickey, ABC News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
The New Hampshire primary is this Tuesday. President Clinton is running unopposed on the Democratic side, and while the White House probably enjoyed the political battling between Republicans this week, they had their own problems. ABC's Jackie Judd reports that the congressional watchdog known as the General Accounting Office, or GAO, believes former White House official David Watkins may have lied to federal investigators about the firing of seven White House travel office workers in 1993.
When he worked at the White House in 1993, David Watkins carried out the controversial firings. The GAO says statements he made to investigators then are contradicted by recently released memos on several points, including whether First Lady Hillary Clinton had a hand in the dismissals. In a letter to the Justice Department obtained by ABC News, the GAO said such inconsistent statements may indicate possible violations of federal criminal law. Justice Department officials say they now plan to send the agency's complaint to independent counsel Kenneth Starr, whose Whitewater inquiry has also touched on travel office matters. Jackie Judd, ABC News, Washington.
Meanwhile, at the Senate Whitewater hearings, testimony from the author of notes on the First Lady's role. Once again, ABC's Jackie Judd.
The documents are meeting notes of then-communications director Mark Guerin, and they reflect the intense debate going on 2 years ago about whether President Clinton should call for a special counsel to investigate Whitewater. The First Lady was dead set against it. Guerin quotes the deputy chief of staff as saying it was impossible to reopen the subject with her. He suggested that the Secretary of State be brought in to talk to Mrs. Clinton because not even the president could succeed. Ultimately, Mr. Clinton did call for a special counsel to probe Whitewater, and one was appointed. Jackie Judd, ABC News, Washington.
Just outside Washington in Silver Spring, Maryland, Pamela Mallory was a Chicago-bound Amtrak passenger settling in for a long trip.
I was getting comfortable, and it was a big boom, and it thrusted you forward, and then it did it again, and then the train completely stopped, and the lights went out, and it was dead silence.
Up ahead, the first few cars of the train were crushed, killing at least 11 people. Investigator John Golia says the Amtrak train was passing a second train when it slammed into an oncoming commuter train.
The Amtrak train had crossed over one set of tracks to enable it to pass the freight train, and then was in the process of crossing back over to continue its journey.
Many of the dead are believed to have been young people involved in the Job Corps. They were on the Amtrak train heading home for the long weekend. For police officer Gary Dockery, the world stopped in 1988. It was then that a drunken gunman shot the Tennessee police officer in the head. For over 7 years, Dockery has been in a coma-like state, unable to speak, swallow, or move. Then on Monday, he stunned the medical world by regaining consciousness.
Call it a miracle if you want to call it a miracle. Call it what you want to. This is a touch of God's hand coming down on us. There's no doubt about that.
Dennis Dockery was at his brother's side Monday as the family decided if Gary should risk surgery to alleviate pneumonia. That's when Dockery suddenly started talking. And talking.
Once he started talking, he talked for 18 hours straight, basically nonstop.
The 42-year-old had no memory of being shot or even of being a policeman, but he remembered his two kids and ex-wife. Dr. James Folkening, Dockery's physician, was asked how a man could snap out of unconsciousness after 7 years.
My own personal feeling about this, that every once in a while, God throws us a curveball and challenges us to look at what happened and figure out how he did it. And I'm comfortable with that.
Gary Dockery was operated on Thursday, and his pneumonia appears to be lessening.
Down goes Morrison again. That's the fourth knockdown of the fight.
That's how it sounded last October as heavyweight boxer Tommy Morrison was beaten by Lennox Lewis. This week, Morrison learned he's battling a deadlier foe.
I have tested positive for the HIV virus.
Morrison learned he possessed the AIDS virus from tests Nevada routinely conducts before a fight. On Thursday, he spoke at length about his condition.
I've never been so stupid in my life. You never think that something like this could ever happen. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I thought I was bulletproof. I'm not.
Morrison, who's engaged, says he probably contracted the disease from his promiscuous behavior.
I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. However, if getting up here today and confronting this problem out in the open can get just one person out there to take a more responsible attitude towards sex, then I feel I would have scored my biggest knockout ever.
Tommy Morrison has been banned from professional boxing. He says he'll now assess the relatively few treatments available to AIDS sufferers. Coincidentally, the government's top medical expert on AIDS said about 20 potential AIDS vaccines are being studied. Dr. Anthony Fauci said that if any of those 20 pan out, a vaccine is still several years away.
If, in fact, the one we have is the one that will be successful, the timetable tells us that it probably would not be available until the year 2001 or 2002.
A home testing kit for AIDS may soon be available. The Food and Drug Administration is considering three requests from companies that want to bring their tests to market. Most of the atrocities in the Bosnian War have been blamed on the Bosnian Serbs, but this week the Bosnian government was itself caught preparing for terrorist attacks. ABC's Linda Patillo reports from Sarajevo.
When NATO-led forces raided the building 1 hour outside Sarajevo, they found sniper rifles, automatic weapons, grenades, and bomb-making equipment, including toys wired to explode. Admiral Leighton Smith, the commander of NATO-led forces here, toured the building and called it a clear violation of the peace accord and said it belonged to the Bosnian government.
No one can escape the obvious, and that is that this was a terrorist training activity going on in this building, and it has direct association with people in the government.
Three of the 11 detained were carrying Iranian identity papers. The Bosnian government maintains they were merely there to dismantle an old training facility. Linda Patillo, ABC News, Sarajevo.
The Irish Republican Army planted a second bomb in London this week. This one was defused by police before it could explode. Last week, two people were killed and over 100 injured when a powerful bomb tore through a London building. Prime Minister John Major braced his countrymen for further attack.
This may not be the last such atrocity. More may follow, both here in the mainland and in Northern Ireland, if the IRA ceasefire is not renewed. We will do all we can to prevent them and to catch those responsible.
On Friday, Scotland Yard raided 20 locations in London, which may have been linked to the bombing. Sweeping water out of their homes and businesses. That's what people like Andrea Horn were doing this week in Tualatin, Oregon. Andrea's cleaning up now, but when she first saw the damage, she was
freaking out when you see it from a distance. The high water up to your doorknob, that's emotional. But after that, what can you do?
You can get some money from the president. Bill Clinton visited the flooded Northwest promising cash.
We'll be able to provide over $26 million to the communities to help rebuild the
community facilities.
Mr. Clinton also comforted flood victims like Mary Vohm.
He held my hand and told me that he was sad that he couldn't be with Hillary and Chelsea on Valentine's Day, but he was happy to be here with us. I'm honored. I held hands with the president on Valentine's Day. Yes!
The floods in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington were caused by melting snow and days of heavy rain. Michael McGuire didn't get a Valentine's heart from his wife this week, but he did get a kidney.
It's the best thing she's gotten me for Valentine's Day since we've been married.
Noreen McGuire gave her husband a kidney to replace his, which failed from diabetes. A victory for breast implant maker Dow Corning, but will it benefit women made sick from silicone? ABC's Aaron Hayes has the answer.
Insurance companies tried to convince a jury that Dow Corning was alone responsible for covering the cost of breast implant lawsuits, but the jury disagreed. And the verdict means insurance companies may have to come up with close to $1 billion to cover those claims. But that does not mean that women who have sued over faulty breast implants will get money anytime soon. Dow Corning is in bankruptcy, and this verdict is seen as just a small step toward resolving the breast implant debate. And even that is in question, since insurers made it clear they will appeal this decision. Aaron Hayes, ABC News, Chicago.
Major news this week for millions of us who will someday need heart surgery. ABC's John Bascom.
A procedure that will transform heart surgery. That's what one doctor is calling a new technique that's been used successfully as a safe alternative to open heart bypass surgery. It involves making just a small incision known as left anterior small thoracotomy. It results in less scarring, less bleeding, less trauma to the patient because there's no need to hook up a heart-lung machine. The British Heart Foundation, which helped develop the technique, says in a few years' time, everyone will be doing it. John Bascom, ABC News, Washington.
If you feed your infant Gerber baby food, you'll want to know about this. A Ralph Nader Group, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, says Gerber's advertising is misleading.
Many of their products are diluted with water, sugar, and starch, and are far less nutritious than comparable products made by other companies.
That's the center's Michael Jacobson. His group wants the Federal Trade Commission to stop Gerber from claiming its products are better. Gerber spokesman Patrick Doyle.
We are very confident. Stand by our product, and you cannot make or buy a better, safer, more nutritious baby food than Gerber.
Gerber is the leading baby food maker in America. How could one man be a baby's father, grandfather, and great-grandfather? Incest. Houston police arrested a 46-year-old this week. They say he impregnated his daughter 13 years ago and now has impregnated his 12-year-old granddaughter. She is 5 months pregnant. Victims of alleged abortion clinic gunman John Salvi faced him in court this week. Reporter Carl Stevens has details from Dedham, Massachusetts.
One woman who was shot several times by Salvi said that she heard Salvi say, "This is what you get. You should pray the rosary." Another man who testified was a security guard, and when he was asked in court to identify John Salvi, he stood up in the witness stand. He pointed two fingers towards Salvi, lifted his thumb, and his hand resembled a gun.
Salvi is charged with killing two women and wounding five others at two abortion clinics. Remember the mother and daughter shackled together by court order? For 2 months, teenager Tanya Klein was tethered to her mom while the girl awaited sentencing for shoplifting, burglary, and other crimes. On Tuesday, the teenager was sentenced to 6 months in juvenile detention. Her mother's reaction?
Kids get in trouble. Policemen's kids, preacher's kids break the law. It's not the parents' fault.
Deborah Harder agreed to be bound to her daughter as a condition for the teen spending Christmas at home. The host of America's Most Wanted became an advocate for crime victims after his son was murdered in Hollywood, Florida. On Friday, John Walsh was angry because those murder files were to be released to the public, a move he felt could compromise the hunt for his son's killer.
I believe that you have to fight back. And I always wanted to make sure Adam didn't die in vain. I've never been able to figure out how anyone could hurt children or how anyone could kill my six-year-old son. But I wanted to make sure he didn't die in vain.
But after the 10,000-page file was released, Walsh's anger turned towards police. Turns out key evidence, including bloody carpet from a suspect's car, has been lost. A witness never called in the case against O.J. Simpson testified against him this week in the civil case. Attorney Leonard Marks represents Faye Resnick.
O.J. told her she testified that he was going to kill Nicole because he was furious about the fact that she had begged him to reconcile with him, that they started to get back together, and then she rejected him, she humiliated him, and she really shamed him.
Cato Kalin also testified this week about Simpson's demeanor just before the double murder. Dynasty star Joan Collins was on trial this week in New York, accused by her publisher of not producing two novels she was paid to write. A jury decided Collins had delivered one of the manuscripts, but not the other. Despite the split decision, Collins was happy.
I was confident that the jury would be able to see through all of those things and see right, and they did.
Collins' lawyers say she'll get to keep her $1.3 million advance. Attention, Kmart shoppers. We're out of cash. U.S. Marshals got tired of waiting for Kmart to post bond in a Florida lawsuit, so the government got a court order and went to two Miami Kmart stores Monday night.
In coordination with the U.S. Marshals office down here in South Florida, we went to the Kmart, we went to two stores. We went in and we seized all the cash, and the registers, the safes, the whole bit.
That's Attorney Glenn Waldman. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan has been the guest of America's enemies. He met Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi and reportedly left with Gaddafi pledging $1 billion to Farrakhan to sway American politics. On Thursday night, Farrakhan was in Iraq, criticizing the United States for supporting sanctions against Saddam Hussein's regime.
To impose sanctions of the magnitude that they have been imposed on any nation is sentencing that nation to death.
The Justice Department is reportedly investigating Farrakhan, but New York Congressman Peter King wants more.
I can't believe that they have not taken his passport away. I can't believe that they have not taken action against him.
King wants hearings to determine if Farrakhan broke U.S. law in his travels. Coming up, tired of winter? You'll hear signs of spring when World News This Week continues.
Hey, it's time to play What a Dope, the show where kids who smoke marijuana try to answer incredibly simple questions. Okay, for $100, what did you eat for breakfast, Brian?
I forget.
Oh, too bad, Brian. Let's move on. For $500, what is your first name? Debbie.
Brian.
Oh, I'm sorry, Debbie. The answer is Debbie, your own first name.
Really?
That's okay. Just try and concentrate for, oh, 2 or 3 seconds, okay?
Okay.
Okay. For $1,000, what day comes after Sunday? Brian?
French toast.
That's incorrect, Brian. And guess what?
Give me a hit, man.
You lose.
Wow.
Oh, wow is right because marijuana has made you a complete imbecile.
I always wanted to be that.
Hey, tune in again tomorrow and remember, if you smoke marijuana,
you're on dope.
Brought to you by the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Radar!
Damn it, how many times must I...
Yes, sir, I've alerted the general's pilot, so he's ready to take off at any time.
Now, I want you to alert the general's pilot to be ready to take off at any time. And that's an order.
The actor who played Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake on the TV classic MASH died Thursday of a heart attack. McLean Stevenson was 66. Film star Martin Balsam died in Rome this week. He was 76. The man who led California for 8 years and whose son became governor is dead. Edmund Pat Brown was 90. Son Jerry was both governor and presidential candidate. Daughter Kathleen was state treasurer. She lost a bid to become governor. Winter continued its snowy assault on much of the country this week. If that sound's got you down, try this. Pitchers and catchers reported for spring training in Florida and Arizona this week. These fans in West Palm Beach were ready to forgive players and owners for 2 years of labor strife.
There's still some hard feeling, but maybe the fans will start coming back, you know.
It's slowly coming around. I know that some of the fans are not quite forgiving like me, but I think in time it'll heal.
Being here today is like taking me back to my youth. I love it.
Opening day is March 31st. And those are the people and stories that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Steve Jones. I'm Chuck Siebertson, ABC News, New York.
This has been a presentation of ABC News. More Americans get their news from ABC News than from any other source.